once that negative reputation gets out there, it makes it more difficult for you to land future clients. It really does, because word gets around. Bad news oftentimes travel faster than good. So it's going to make the process more difficult for you in the future off of what seemed to be a very simple mistake.
Hello, and welcome to the Excel at Consulting podcast, dedicated to helping ambitious female consultants create an authentic and thriving consulting practice that stands out and excels in a male-dominated industry. In this space, we are ditching the never-ending hustle for intention and purpose as we cultivate our mindset, expand our knowledge, and prioritize our health, wellness, and happiness to offer our absolute best to the clients we serve. I'm your host, Dr. Angelina Davis, and I am the founder of Excel at Consulting. Join me as we leave our unique mark on the consulting world and create a business and life we love.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Excel at Consulting podcast. I cannot believe that we are already at episode 20, so thank you for staying along on this ride. I really appreciate it. And there are so many more good things to come. But before we even think about moving past this particular episode, this special 20th episode, I want us to jump right into our conversation. Today, we're talking about a common mistake that I see many consultants make. Now, this is a mistake that I see definitely at the beginning of a consulting career. But I also see this pop up from time to time with seasoned consultants or people who have been practicing or been in their consulting business for a number of years. And that mistake is over-promising. Yes, over-promising. And we have to dive deeper into this and understand the danger associated with over-promising and what eventually becomes under-delivering in ways that we can avoid this, what I would call an unforced error. So, let me paint this picture for you. You've worked diligently on a project. You have been hammering away at strategy, planning various initiatives, just piecing everything together. And you're going in the next day. You're ready to present all of this to your client. You're thinking that you're at the point of closing out the work that you're doing with the client, or at least moving it forward to a certain degree. And you are confident that what you're going to present is going to be everything that the client initially requested and desired. And so you're excited about that. You're moving full steam ahead. So the next day comes and you walk into what you feel to be your moment of celebration and reaching that end of the road type of journey. And the one thing that pops up is that the client has one additional question. And can you guess what that question is? It's whether or not you can do another thing or something else. So they are asking for some additional work to be done. They're asking for some other major initiative to be performed or something to be changed that drastically alters your initial plan. And so this throws you for a loop because it's not what you had planned to occur on this particular day. It's not what you were prepared for. And in that moment, one of two things happen. One is that you respectfully decline and you move forward with the plans that you originally had. You close everything out and you go on your way. That's one way of handling it. And some will do that. There's not a right or wrong in taking that approach. We always talk about you have to weigh the benefits and the risk of your interactions with your clients and all of the opportunities you have with that client and what that can translate to in terms of future work and future collaboration or even referrals. So you can take that route. There's nothing wrong with taking that route. Like I said, some positives and negatives that one could argue there. But what is more common and what most people do is that they fall into the trap and they very quickly and I would say with hesitation, often agree and say yes. So they agree to whatever that request may have been. And I hate to see that happen. I hate to see that happen on so many levels because when you are making the decision to accept this, you know, new work or what this new challenge that your client is presenting in the moment, you have to really think about how you're going to do that. You were moving toward the finish line and now you could be starting all over again. This is just a situation that we don't want to find ourselves in. It's not a matter of whether or not this will happen. I'm telling you, this is a matter of when it will happen. If you have been consulting long enough, you have been in this position before, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You will be presented with a request from your client that you will feel obligated to accept or agree to. But what I want to share today is that there are so many dangers, so many things that we need to think about before we make this commitment, before we make this agreement to move forward. And one of those is that by overpromising, you're leading yourself down a road or setting up the stage to underdeliver. And that's just a fact. You're really creating a scenario where you're not going to be able to deliver on the request or the expectation that the client may have because you weren't prepared for it. It was completely new. Now, one could argue that you can get lucky, and sometimes you do get lucky, and maybe it's a request that can be simply addressed. And I will argue that you may know this ahead of time, and you're prepared for that ahead of time. And so the answer may be with your full awareness and full knowledge. But most often, when you're quick to promise and quick to accept a request or state that you can meet this request, you are creating a scenario where you are going to overpromise and underdeliver. Now, there are a number of reasons why overpromising can be problematic. The first is that overpromising can actually erode trust. Trust is so big in consulting. Trust is one of the main things that we focus on as a consultant because trust is what helps to build influence. It's at the heart of driving change, especially behavioral change, and being able to lead with influence, lead by influence. So you have to have that trust there. And when you're overpromising, when you are promising to deliver on something that you are not able to do or able to do successfully, then the client becomes a bit skeptical. It takes away some of that confidence that they had in your ability to deliver. So you're eroding the trust that you've worked so hard to build. Trust doesn't come easy. It takes us a long time to build the trust with the clients that we have. And when we make the mistake of overpromising in these moments, we are setting up a scenario where we can easily erode trust. And I always tell people, trust is the most vulnerable aspect of your practice because it can be easily broken. Easily broken. So it's important to always remain mindful of how fragile trust is, okay? And overpromising can definitely erode that trust. And when you erode this trust and when you create a situation where you have made a promise that you're not delivering on, that can damage your reputation. One thing that you don't need is a damaged reputation. It creates a scenario where the client begins to question what you're saying. They question what you're saying, and when they look at the result, they refer back to what you promised. They acknowledge that you didn't deliver on that, and then the word spreads, and they share possibly their disappointment in your services, their disappointment in the work that you have done because you promised something different and they didn't receive it. They feel disappointed. So when clients feel disappointed, what do they do? Like I said, they share it. They share their negative experience. And that's one thing I see often in business and a lot of times with consulting, it may not be intentional. So the promise that the consultant made, as I previously described in the moment, may not have been something that they were intentionally doing. They were not trying to mislead their client. Actually, they were trying to please them. They were going out of their way more than likely to deliver on something that they thought the client wanted because they wanted to really give their extra effort and just give the best experience possible. And that led them to overdeliver, but it came from a good place. However, despite coming from that good place, the client leaves disappointed. And so that disappointment translates into this, what I would say, self-inflicted injury. Because no one made you commit to that promise or state that you could deliver on that request. It's not helpful. Once that negative reputation gets out there, it makes it more difficult for you to land future clients. It really does, because word gets around. Bad news oftentimes travel faster than good. So it's going to make the process more difficult for you in the future off of what seemed to be a very simple mistake. And then overpromising, even if you could deliver, let's say you could deliver. You're able to deliver on this request that wasn't part of your original plan. And oftentimes, because it was not part of your plan or something that you had thought about, because remember, you've done the work. You've been building strategy. You've been diving deep into all the data, all the numbers. You've been doing your gap analysis. You've been doing all the work. So if you haven't thought about this, more than likely it's not in alignment with your plan, your strategy, your goals, or your vision. It's not in alignment. And so this overpromising leads you further from your destination. And what do detours actually do to us when we detour and we take another path? It's going to slow us down. It's slowing us down in terms of accomplishing our overall goals. So this is moving kind of out of the realm of just the client, but thinking about how it really affects you personally and it affects your business, affects your consulting practice. It's going to move you further away from your vision and your goals. And so if you're moving further away from those things that you have already planned, is it helpful? Are you benefiting from agreeing to this additional work that you more than likely or possibly can't deliver? So one thing that I recommend is that before we decide to deliver on anything, before we promise anything to a client, there are some ways that we can really prevent all of this from happening. You know, and if you've been in practice for a while, you probably figured some of this out. And if you haven't, this is where you want to really pay attention and maybe even jot down a few notes and keep track of some of what we're going to discuss. The first thing that you want to do is to understand that you don't have to rush. You can stop and breathe. Just stop and breathe. You have time. I mean, that is a reality in any situation. I don't care what situation you're in or how the client has presented the opportunity. You have time. And if you feel pressured not to take your time, then I'm going to be honest with you. This is more than likely a scenario that you do not want to accept or a request that you not want to accept. Because if you feel as if you can't take your time to give an honest answer that will best benefit your client, then there's likely a problem. There's likely a reason why you're being rushed. And so the more rushed you feel, the more likely your answer should be no. So it is okay to simply say, let me get back to you on that request. Let me get back to you in a day, or let's discuss this at a later time. I want to take time to make sure that I understand what you are requesting and make sure that we're able to deliver on that. You have the ability to take time. You can take time. You do not have to rush into making a decision in that moment. Okay, so that's number one. You have time. Stop and breathe. Just stop and breathe. Now, the second thing is that you have to make sure you do your research. Don't skip any step of your process just because there has been a new request made. Understand what it will take to meet the client's need and deliver on this new request. You know, is this something that's even possible? Is it even possible? Do you know that it's possible? Because if achieving the desired result is not realistic, or if it's not even possible, then you are just throwing yourself into a ditch. that you can't get out of. Because then now what you're doing is agreeing to something that's not even feasible. Your research is so important. There's a reason why, as consultants, we prioritize doing our research. We prioritize doing the gap analysis. We prioritize all of the aspects of strategic planning. We prioritize all of those things because we know that sometimes it may not be feasible to take a certain approach. It may not be realistic to chase a certain goal. That's just a fact. That doesn't change just because the client asked in the moment. And then when you agree to something that's not even feasible, it may be a scenario where, like I said, you throw yourself in a ditch and you can't get out of it. You can't get out of the fact that you've committed to this thing that likely will not work because it is just not possible. You have to do your research. Don't let anything or any situation prevent you from doing the research that you need. Check your data. You want to investigate your threats. Identify your opportunities. Is what the client asking for an opportunity you've identified? If you haven't identified that and you've done a thorough job, why not? What's the change? What's the difference, right? Those are all things that are very important because it makes a difference in terms of how we're even thinking through the process, which ties me into my last point is, if you haven't thought about this, if this is something completely new that the client is presenting to you or making the request for, that can be fair game. Maybe it's something that you just overlooked. But in some instances, it becomes a question of whether or not you can even help. We like to think that we have all the answers, but the truth is that we don't. One thing that you learn over time in consulting is that you can do your best work within your zone of expertise. This is where we do our absolute best work. And that's where we can get the greatest impact from the work that we're doing. So is this request part of your zone of expertise? Does it fall within that zone of expertise? Is it in your wheelhouse? That's one place to start. Because if it's not even in your zone of expertise, is there somebody else that is better suited to address that issue or to address that task? Maybe your job is to point that client in the right direction so that they can get the proper support that they need. Beyond whether or not you're the right expert for the project or task, the question also becomes, do you even have the ability in time and resources to take on this additional work? Because often, you know, as consultants, we quickly say yes to the opportunity. We're saying yes to the opportunity. We're saying yes to the financial compensation. We're saying yes to the possible referrals that'll come in the future. We're saying yes to the growth that we may see. But what other commitments have we made? And those commitments can be either personal or part of your consulting business. It can be personal or professional. But whatever commitments you've already made, that's dedicated time. That's time that you don't have to dedicate to this new unplanned request that the client is making. So bottom line, do you have the time? And if you don't, then guess what? You cannot deliver on their request successfully. If you don't have the time to dedicate to do the full work, then you don't have the ability to meet their expectation in terms of that request. That's just going to be a fact. Pretty much in every scenario that I can think of, that's going to be a fact. So overpromising can be a huge threat to us as consultants. We really just have to watch out for it. Like I said, it happens to all of us. We've all been there. I have been there. And oftentimes you're in that moment where you're sitting there with the client and you're just trying to do your best. You're trying to deliver your best for them to help drive them forward, to help meet and exceed their expectations. You're trying to do your best work so that you have huge return on investment for your clients. You're just trying to really, really excel. And you fall into this trap of overpromising that leads you down the road to also under delivering. Just because a new opportunity presents itself, it doesn't mean that the opportunity is right for you. And it doesn't mean that the opportunity is right for this particular moment. So don't fall into the trap of overpromising and under-delivering. Instead, I want you to, one, stop and breathe. I want you to, two, do your research. And three, figure out if you are positioned to help. And if you do these things, I think you will walk into these situations and these scenarios with more comfort and more confidence. And that confidence will allow you to make the best decision, not just for yourself, but also make the best decision for your client. So that wraps up this episode of the Excel at Consulting podcast. I am so glad you were able to join me this week for the 20th episode. I'm so excited. We are over that hump and that hurdle. And I look forward to joining you again here next week. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to the Excel at Consulting podcast. I hope that this conversation has been helpful and will support and enhance your consulting journey. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes or post a screenshot of you tuning in today to Instagram stories while tagging me at Excella Consulting. I would love to connect with you on Instagram. For the show notes and more information from today's episode, visit excellaconsulting.com/podcast. There you can also learn about Excella Consulting and services offered. I think that wraps up our time together this week. Until next time, take care.